some hanging around here. Goodbye, broken heart. Please help me, I'm falling in love with you. Close the door to temptation. Don't let me walk through. Turn away from me, darling. I'm begging you to. Please help me. If you really won't go, well, it's all right. Don't worry about me, darling, 'cause I'm getting by. But I'll need someone to hold me when I cry. I'll need someone to tell me that I'll get.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
Or as I would say, welcome to my world.
Yeah, right.
You know, since I did my little Elvis there, I was talking to a guy named Dave at our radio station who said to me that you used to sing with Elvis. Is that true?
Oh, well, I did sing on a project, his last album. Yes, we backup singers enhanced the tape that came in from his last show in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Uh-huh. So you actually backed him, but he wasn't there. He was already
he wasn't there, but his producer, Felton Jarvis, was there. And so we added the vocals 1 week, and then he died the next week. Then we had to go back in and finish it after.
Oh, wow.
And it was so emotional. I'll just never forget that scene in the studio. It was pretty amazing.
Did you actually get to meet him?
Not that day, but I did a show with him in Memphis years before that, because I was living in Memphis singing jingles and commercials, so I was on the same stage area as he was, so that was exciting.
Let's talk a little bit about growing up. You're from South Whitley, Indiana.
It's actually Whitley, South Whitley, Indiana. Yes,
okay.
You're right.
And I guess tell us a little bit about growing up and some of the influences that you had in terms of music.
Oh, gosh. When I was growing up, I listened to all kinds of music, not only country. I listened to, you know, folk and whatever happened to be popular at the time. So I was influenced by a wide array of types of songs. And that's why I think later in years when I started recording, some of the producers, they weren't sure what to do with my voice. You know, they thought I could sing too many different ways. So and the songs that I've recorded over the years have been many different styles, too.
Yeah, I would assume that when you're growing up, I know you're about the same age as I am, and when you think folk, people like Joan Baez and Judy Collins, folks like that were around then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, did you get my new CD yet? Because they did send you a copy.
I listened to it. It's called the Bluegrass Sessions, and of course I got it. I was going to talk about it a little later on.
Great.
I want to get to know
sure
you first,
you got
though.
It.
I want to talk to you first, though.
Yeah,
in fact,
great.
We actually played a couple of small clips from it as well, so folks can actually hear what it sounds like.
And what city are you
in? We're in Boston, but this is a national program.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, yeah. Great.
So tell us a little bit about how you learned to music. I know you played guitar and piano and stuff. Did you learn this? Did you take lessons when you were a kid? Were your parents, anybody involved in music at all?
Well, I was pretty much self-taught, and yes, my parents both loved music, and they both knew how to play an instrument, so I self-taught myself trying to learn the guitar. I did have some piano lessons, so I grew up all those years playing the guitar and singing at any little event that I could find around the school area and the home area.
Now, you mentioned that you used to sing commercial jingles, and I from what I understand, some of them were national stuff that we may actually know.
Absolutely, yeah. I did a lot of major commercials because when I moved on into Nashville, I had already had the experience of doing studio work in Memphis, Tennessee, doing station ID package call letters, so I knew how to read music and work in a vocal group. And so when I came into Nashville, there were a lot of big spots being cut for jingles and commercials through the ad agents. And so I would get called in to do Coca-Cola, McDonald's, United Airlines, Red Lobster, and many others.
Which ones can we recognize? Can you give us a line of one of the ones you did?
Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you.
Didn't you do
That's
a Dial commercial, too? You did Dial, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did Dial Soap, and I did, there was a whole string of songs. Coca-Cola.
Aren't you glad you used Dial? You didn't do that one, did you?
Yes, I did. Aren't you glad you used Dial?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So you had 18 number one hits, but hey, that's more impressive, I think.
Right. The commercials are very impressive.
Well, now, the other thing that I noticed that folks like John Mellencamp and Bruce Springsteen are out there, bashing Bush on the road. I understand that you've actually played for quite a few presidents.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what that's like.
I guess they found out I was Republican because I played for President Reagan a couple times,
mm-hmm.
and I've played for President Ford, and I've played in front of both Bush Sr. and George W.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote a song on my my album from last year, an album that we produced at home in our studio, and I wrote a song called Forever Free, and so I closed my concerts with it, and I dedicate it to our troops and to our president and to our men and women dressed in uniform.
Now, you know George Bush a little bit. You've actually spent some time with him. He seems like a really honest, down-to-earth guy with integrity, and they're just bashing him from all sides. Can you tell us a little bit about him, or at least your experiences with him?
That's exactly the way I feel about both Bush Sr. and George W., because I've met both of them and sang it at his inaugural in Texas when he became governor. But, yeah, I mean, they're both very common-sense, down-to-earth common-sense type men who do have the morals and the standards and the values, which I think are really important to be stressing upon these days, the way things go, and, you know, in our country everything is so liberalized, and you just anything goes, it seems like. You turn on the TV and, my gosh, there's no rules or standards on TV anymore, so I'm glad I don't have children.
Mm.
But I just think, and I like the point that he, you know, mentions religion and quotes, you know, because that's very important base to me, is to have a religious base, and I just really respect him.
And now, since we lost President Reagan, tell us a little bit about your experience staying. I know you stayed the weekend over at Camp David with him.
Well, actually, I performed a concert for President Reagan at Camp David, Maryland, and also attended a state dinner where I got to sit next to George Shultz, and that was very exciting. And he, at the concert, he came up and presented a jacket to me, a London Fog jacket, with the emblem. He was entertaining the president from Mexico at the time,
mm-hmm.
and it was wonderful to be able to meet him and visit him with him and have him give me this jacket. That was a great honor. So, great memories there.
Talking about great honors, you've got everything from Country Music Association Female Vocalist of the Year, two-time Academy of Country Music Awards, Billboard, Cashbox, everything. All these things have added up to some incredible stuff, but here you are with a brand-new CD out. It has a lot of the old stuff on it, but it's in a different way. Tell us a little bit about the Bluegrass Sessions.
Right. It's really fun recording, giving a new twist and turn to some of my songs, giving them a different tempo and instrumentation. And the first single is You Don't Know Love, and it's just kind of brightened it up and opened it up to a new type of song. And same with Tell Me a Lie and He's a Heartache and some of these other songs that I previously recorded.
I know Lynn Anderson also has a Bluegrass Session album out, too. Is this a project that was for a number of people, or is it just...
I'm not sure who all the record label chose, but... Yeah, you're right. Lynn did one. I did one. I don't know what other plans they have or who else they've recorded, but it's really been great having this opportunity.
Mm. Now, what else is in your life? Have you gotten into any acting stuff or any, I know because you've done some videos. Have you ever thought about kind of stretching into that area?
Oh, that would be fun, but it's kind of hard to do right now. I base out of Dallas-Fort Worth. And, you know, if I ever slowed down enough and I was off the road, I could pursue finding a probably finding a casting director or a manager that would open up some opportunities there. But I did Dukes of Hazzard, and I've had plenty of chances to be in front of the audience in an acting perspective. So I could definitely do that.
What do you think of days like today where you're doing media interviews all day? Is it exhausting? Is it something, that some people ask personal questions and do they disturb you? What kind of reaction do you have when you talk to the media all day?
I enjoy it very much because, you know, I don't do this every day. This just happens when there happens to be something to promote and this record came along, and so I'm enjoying it very much.
In terms of the music, do you write any of the music, or is it mostly written for you?
Actually, I wrote a song on this new Bluegrass Sessions, and it's the second cut on there, so that means it might be the second single release.
Goodbye, Broken Heart.
Right. Mm-hmm. And songs do not pop into my mind very often because I don't have that natural ability, but when I wrote that other song I was telling you about, Forever Free for Our Troops, mm-hmm. that one just really... just came out while we were on tour and we were riding on the bus. And so I closed my concerts with it, and it's very well received because it's an up-tempo, it's very strong and very pro-Americana, and it surprised me that it came out, so I'm real proud of it.
We've had thousands of singers on this show, and they all say the same thing. They learned their lesson when they were young that in order to make money, I mean, really, you know, the big money is people who write their songs. So they always, I've had some people come on here and really honestly say to me, Mark, I can't write songs, but every album I put one on of mine just to do it. Is this something that you ever think about? That, you know, do all your CDs or most of them have music by you as well?
No, not really. I mean, and like I said, I am not a songwriter by nature. You know, I mean, it just does not come to me as it would for those who do it professionally. I would rather choose the good songs that I hear that are played to me through the, all of the publishing companies here in Nashville.
Do you ever think of how you would have done financially, though, if you had just one song on each album that you wrote?
Oh, can you imagine? That'd be great.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's why they tell me that's the secret lesson, that you always put at least one of your songs. Now, that's why I was very pleased to see the Bluegrass Sessions has at least one of your songs on it.
Yes, well, that and that one lent itself to doing it with this instrumentation because it's kind of an up-tempo, country song, which has now been transposed into a bluegrass song.
Hmm. Now, I know at one point in your career you were on a huge label. What's the difference in terms of, recording for, like, a massive label to a smaller one that gives you a little bit more flexibility?
Well, it's been delightful working with these people because, yes, you're right, I was on a big label for 12 years. And, of course, that was, at a different time and place in my life. So there's no way to compare that to what I'm doing now. But now I'm with a very delightful group of guys that own DM Records out of Florida, and they're just really doing it the right way, and it's very excitable to me.
And of course, they're also doing the one with Lynn Anderson. So I assume that they're also they're doing other people as well. I'm taking a guess.
Well, I have no idea. I haven't had a chance to visit with them about that.
Mm. Well, this is a great CD, and folks can get it. You can get it at dmrecords.com or in any store on Amazon or wherever you'd like to go. It's officially being released to stores August 17th. It's called The Bluegrass Sessions. Janie, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, and I have a webpage. It's available through janiefricke.com.
Oh, well, there you go. It's janiefricke.com.
That's right.
And we'll post that on our website as well at pmpnetwork.com. Let people know that.
And hopefully it will be distributed into the Walmarts, too.
Well, you don't want it in Walmart.
I know it. We don't know. Yeah, you're right. It'd be easier to order it through dmrecords.com.
Either one. I mean, they can go to your site, too.
Absolutely.
There's pictures of you there, and they can download them and put them on their wall.
Right.
There you go. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. You too. It's
take
good
care.
Talking to you, and we'll visit with you next time, Mark.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.